Are you obsessed with Los Angeles? Head over heels in love with the City of Angels? Well, this is the podcast for you. At Life Hacks LA, we hack the best in arts, eats, and activities in Los Angeles. So join us and become an LA hacker. Hey, what's up, LA Hackers? This is your host, Stefan, and welcome to another episode of the Life Hacks LA podcast. You know, the city of LA has about 4 million people, and Los Angeles County has almost 10 million. So it may seem hard to believe that there are still places where you can escape for solitude and some much needed self-reflection. But we are here to tell you that they do indeed exist. And today in this episode, we're going to share all the details about one of our favorites, the Self-Realization Fellowship Lake Shrine. Lake Shrine is an absolutely breathtaking oasis in the Pacific Palisades, just a few minutes from all the crazy chaos of our busy city. In this interview, we talked to Brother Satyananda, who is the longtime minister in charge of the Self-Realization Fellowship Lake Shrine, and he explains how the organization started, the spectacular Lake Shrine location, how he became a part of it, his tips on spiritual awareness, his personal relationship with Los Angeles, and so much more. After our conversation with the brother, please come on back where I will have my own special hack for this episode. Okay, enjoy this interview and I'll talk to you again soon. What's up, LA Hackers? Welcome to another episode of the Life Hacks LA podcast. And our guest today is Brother Satyananda from the Self-Realization and Fellowship Lake Shrine. How are you today, brother?
I'm great, Stefan. Thank you very much for having me on and giving me a chance to talk about beautiful things today.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful conversation because we're talking about a beautiful place, a beautiful organization, Lake Shrine. I was just telling you, I've been there many times. It's one of my absolute favorite gems in Los Angeles that I recommend people for. But before we start talking about that, you know, this is a podcast about Los Angeles. So can you tell us about your relationship with LA? Where are you from originally and how did you come to Los Angeles?
Well, Stefan, I'm a California native. I was born in San Diego and grew up South Bay, Los Angeles. So I'm actually quite local all my life. And I went to university in San Diego. And while I was there, I kind of went into a early life crisis, trying to figure out what am I going to do with my life. One day I was up in North County's San Diego and Encinitas wave riding at Swami's Beach. It's a beach named after Paramahansa Yogananda, our founder. And between sets, myself and a couple of friends were sitting on our boards and I looked up at the cliffs and I said, "What's that beautiful place up there on the hill?" And they said, "Oh, that's Self-Realization Fellowship. They have a center there." I said, "What do they do?" And my friend said, "Oh, they teach you how to meditate." And a little voice inside me said, "You need to learn how to meditate."
Yeah.
So after we finished writing, we went up and rang the bell at the gate and a tall monk came out and I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a monk. I live here." And another voice came up in my head and said, "That sounds awesome."
Wow. That's amazing.
So the rest is history. Rest is history.
Yeah, that's amazing. And we're going to talk about those other locations because I was telling you that I've only been to Lake Shrine. And speaking of Lake Shrine, it's in the Pacific Palisades, one of the most beloved and iconic locations in Los Angeles. So you've talked a little bit about how you discovered the Self-Realization Fellowship, but can you share what your role is there now and how that came to be?
Yes. Well, I've been a monastic of our monastic order for almost 45 years, and I'm a minister representative of Self-Realization Fellowship. So I'm in a public role in my daily work. So here at the Lake Shrine, we have a temple, we have a meditation garden, and I am minister of the temple. I'm also an administrator for the operations on the site. So I'm very much engaged with the public. People sometimes call and I answer and they say, "I'm sorry to interrupt your meditation." And I laugh because, you know, I'm just as busy as any business person in LA. But these are some of my responsibilities. I also do spiritual teach meditation, teach Kriya Yoga, which is the core of our path. And and help people develop and build their spiritual lifestyle. That's very, very popular right now.
Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing. And my understanding is you actually travel around as well too. You don't just stay at Lake Shrine, but you'll actually travel the world and do speeches, or is that?
Yeah, we conduct meditation programs all over the world. And so I've traveled to Europe and South America, Australia, New Zealand, you know, all over. And we conduct programs in cities around the world. We also have meditation centers all around the world. So we're meeting with people when we go. But it's very interesting perspective to be able to see the, you know, intense and sincere interest in meditation that's rising all over the world right now.
Yeah, it's sorely needed. I mean, like you were saying, we're all so busy, and then we have a constant 24/7 distraction with these phones in our pockets. So if there's ever a time in human history where we all need to just take a moment and self-reflect and go inside and meditate, it's now. So that's an amazing mission that you're on. Now, many of us who live in Los Angeles have visited Lake Shrine before. If you haven't, I definitely recommend you do. But for the people who still haven't heard of it, or maybe haven't visited Los Angeles yet, can you give a brief explanation of just Lake Shrine and what it is and what its history is?
Yes, it was founded by Paramahansa Yogananda in 19, it was dedicated in 1950. So the site has been around for a long time. It has been a natural lake in Los Angeles. It's actually the only natural lake close to the Pacific Ocean in California.
Wow.
And Yogananda saw it, and he was able to acquire the property. He had a vision for a temple, for a meditation garden. And he said, I want something that's available to the people of Los Angeles, where people can actually come from the metro, reach it easily, and have a place where they can come meditate and reflect. So we have a beautiful meditation garden surrounding a lake. We have indoor and outdoor sanctuaries. It's a place for quiet meditation and reflection, to get away from, you know, the noise of daily life. And we also have a temple where we have regular services. We teach meditation, and we have some other facilities as well. But it's a beautiful campus, and it's been a, like you said, it's been kind of a beautiful centerpiece of for spirituality in Los Angeles for a long time.
Yeah, it's almost like a modern day Garden of Eden, and like an oasis in the crazy busyness. I mean, you're just down the street from PCH, and right. All that crazy beach traffic that goes on, the busy shops and stuff down the street in Pacific Palisades. And then you turn in there, you park your car, and you walk in, and you just can't believe that this is in Los Angeles, because to your point, it's so peaceful and it's so quiet, and it's just the perfect place to meditate and get away from the stress of the day.
And we were able, I'm very proud of this, we were able to stay open throughout COVID lockdown because we're an outdoor meditation garden. Our temple closed, but we kept the gardens open. And we have thousands of visitors a month coming just to get away from the brutal conditions. So people were really driven to seek refuge, that's what I would call it. Mm-hmm. And we would see the pain on people's faces when they came in, and we would see the happy, glowing smiles when they left. It was so satisfying.
Yeah, what a gift to have to the city of Los Angeles during that difficult time, and where people were locked mm-hmm. down, and they were looking for places to not only walk around with little social distancing and escape the problems, but, you know, Lake Shrine is the perfect place to do it because of the meditation and the factors that provides for people. Now,
the fresh outdoor ambience, we have waterfalls, lakes, swans, and ducks. So it's very naturally inspiring.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful location. You know, we talked about Lake Shrine, the location itself, but what's the primary goal of the fellowship? I know it's meditation, but can you go into a little bit more detail with that? And have things changed with the modern age, or is it pretty much still the same core principles and values of its founding?
Well, Paramahansa Yogananda is author of a book, Autobiography of a Yogi, and that's been a classic, spiritual classic for decades now. And in there, he describes something very universal, and that is his search for meaning, for truth, and for what he calls self-realization. And so Self-Realization Fellowship, the organization which he founded, exists basically to disseminate his revelation, his teachings, and to connect those teachings with modern life. And so our work is not only to offer beautiful spaces where people can come and enjoy and find peace, but to take it even further and to offer methods by which people can begin to discover that peace within. So we kind of discover outer peace and calm first and location, and then we begin to discover inner peace. And it's really the inner peace that we are promoting. So we have meditation instruction courses. We have inspirational services that we offer. And actually, there is a worldwide interest in this right now, because especially with all the tensions and stress of modern law and the international situations, people are not finding satisfactory happiness without. And when they get the message that you can find your true lasting happiness within, this resonates. So we have a lot of people seeking. And Self-Realization Fellowship is more true to the East in this sense than Western religion. In the East, you're not born into a religion. You actually seek a faith and a spiritual path. So Self-Realization Fellowship is more, it's a religion, but it's actually a spiritual path. And this is something that we walk every day. We walk the path every day. It's what we do every day that makes the spirituality come alive. And so taking classic truths, applying them to meditation, and then putting them into practice in a well-designed personal lifestyle, it's kind of the sequence that we recommend.
Well, it's an incredible mission that you're seeking, and you've helped thousands and thousands of people. But one of the most interesting things I find about Self-Realization Fellowship, at least with my visits to Lake Shrine, is the openness to all religions and backgrounds. So even when you go there, there's plaques for the major religions. So why is that inclusivity so important to the founder and still to the organization today, to be so welcoming to any and all religions?
Well, Paramahansa Yogananda had an inspiration that the future of religion was inclusive, that it had to move toward kind of common vision and common goals. Mm-hmm. And so he shows how the heart of every faith tradition has a mystical origin that is based on a common vision, a common inspiration. And Yogananda wanted to tap into that common inspiration. And so he actually took the life of Jesus Christ as a Western representative and the life of Bhagavan Krishna as an Eastern representative, and then took their life and teachings and showed how they really were living and practicing and teaching the same things. And this is an effort on his part to say, you know, we are not divided. We are one. There is an inherent fundamental unity in our being that expresses itself through common inspiration and realization. So he not only brought this as a contemplative concept, but he also brought methods by which we can actually experience it. And I'm not just kind of promoting my path right now. I'm actually saying from my own personal experience that it's really quite amazing the combination of, you know, spiritual teachings of truth and then methods to be able to experience that truth. So often, you know, we're interested metaphysically or philosophically, and it satisfies our thoughts and our emotions, but we don't have any way to really prove it as a reality. And this is where Yogananda specializes. And you can talk about inner peace and say, oh, I think I felt that, I'm not quite sure. But Yogananda gets very specific, and he says, no, here is the experience of inner peace, and it's something that's common to every heart. And you can tap into it in this way, and you can also share it and enjoy it. So I think this is what makes it popular to seekers in this modern society now.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a powerful message what you were saying about what the religions have in common, because that's something that struck me on from an early age is, you know, you see this religion's better, this religion's better. And then when you look underneath, the major religions, most of them have more in common than they have separating them, but they just focus on the differences.
Yeah, that's very insightful. And it's actually true. You know, there are popular books now that show, you know, quotations of different prophets and on different, on, you know, on the same topics, and what they're saying is essentially the same. And so we're in a time right now where it's very tempting to, you know, feel divided. Mm-hmm. What you believe, what I believe, and they're not the same. And so Yogananda brings a very unifying and harmonizing message along with methods to be able to experience that. So our services, for example, at our temples, our inspirational services, always include meditation. And the meditation is always emphasized as a unifying inner experience. And I was just telling our congregation last Sunday, you know, we come in from all different walks of life, different experiences, but we sit here together, that we share a common bond of spirit. Let's feel safe and let's meditate. Let's be one. And people are really resonating with that message now, Stephen.
Yeah, it's a beautiful message. And like you said, sorely needed right now. So
yeah.
So let's talk about Lake Shrine, because I'm sure a lot of people come in just to see the beauty of it because they've heard of it. And then, you know, then they find out more about the Self-Realization Fellowship. So when it comes to Lake Shrine, you know, you've got the beautiful grounds, the meditation gardens, but there's so many interesting things to see. And you touched on it a little bit earlier, but the, you know, for example, the houseboat, the swans, the temples. Can you tell us what people should expect to experience if they come to visit Lake Shrine, just to kind of walk around and do that self-guided tour?
Yeah, well, we encourage people to let go of their burdens of life, try to just stroll the gardens. So a slow walk around the lake is a beautiful way to sort of release tension and stress. Mm-hmm. We encourage them to enjoy the nature and to find a meditation bench, because there are these little meditation nooks all around the lake. You can choose different views. There is a windmill chapel, which is very unique, and it's actually a replica of a windmill from Europe. But there's a chapel inside where people can sit quietly, and it's for meditation and prayer. We have landings on the lake where people can actually go and sit and reflect. People come with inspirational books that they would like to read. They come with journals that they would like to write in to reflect on their life. So there's a number of what we would call contemplative activities that we encourage. Mm-hmm. We have also the ashes, a portion of ashes from Mahatma Gandhi Shrine. This is a very interesting feature of Lake Shrine, because Paramahansa Yogananda was a personal friend of Mahatma Gandhi. And when Gandhi was assassinated and then cremated, an influential friend common to both of them was able to arrange with the Indian government to have a portion of the ashes sent to Paramahansaji, and he was there to inter them. Now, we have a portion of ashes, which, you know, to us reflects the, let's say, the humanitarian aspect of religion, mm-hmm. because Gandhi was very much a humanitarian in his work. We find inspiration in including these virtues. So we have a tour, for example, on one Sunday a month that walks people around the lake, introducing them to, you know, Buddha and Gandhi and St. Francis and other saints of all religions. And we talk about the common virtues that they expressed, mm-hmm. because this is really at the heart of what true inspiration is. It's interesting because one of the most common virtues is compassion. Mm-hmm. You get into the life and life stories of different saints and sages of history, and the most enduring legacies all have to do with compassion toward, you know, human nature, just compassion toward all of life. So we love to bring out these common virtues.
Wow, that's interesting. Compassion is the common thread. And it's like you said, I mean, that's something we definitely need right now, and just people show more compassion towards each other, kind of in the modern times we're in right now, where people are very in their tribal tents and, you know, my way's better. So compassion is the answer. They've had the answer all along.
Yeah, I think all we have to do is just tap into it. We, you know, we're becoming very defensive. I understand why, but we can't give in to the outer conditions that kind of cause us to be defensive in our posture. We have to kind of tap into a new strength, mm-hmm. and reach out and connect people are afraid to be vulnerable now. And I think that we need to open up our spirituality, find the strength from within, and then this will help us to bond together for a better future.
Yeah. And you can get some of that guidance with the Sunday meditation services that you alluded to earlier. You know, a lot of people will come just to wander the gorgeous and peaceful grounds that we've been talking about. But I understand that you have a Sunday meditation service that people can also attend. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, every Sunday we offer a favorite spiritual routine for everyone that comes. They come at 10 o'clock. And we have a guided meditation for everybody. So you don't have to know how to meditate or be concerned that you're not going to do the right thing. We guide everybody through meditation. We get a nice crowd. Then that meditation is followed by an 11 o'clock service. We're getting now about 350 to 400.
Wow.
And it's an inspirational teaching on, you know, on the truths that Yogananda gives to us. But we also have a period of meditation there. We close that inspirational service with prayers for the world. So we're praying for Ukraine. We're praying for all the troubles that are going on. And then we encourage everybody who attended the meditation service to go down and walk around the lake and feel the peace that they've been gathering and share that peace with each other. And I have a favorite pastime on Sunday when I'm not leading a service. I'll go to the lake path, which is down below the temple. The temple is up above. And people come out of the Sunday services and they walk down the stairs. And I just see these glowing faces passing by me, you know, hundreds of them. And then just kind of walking all quietly, enjoying each other's company around the lake. So we call it our Lake Shrine Sunday morning routine.
That's so cool because everyone set their intention, right? They're like peaceful. And
that's exactly right. They even tell me that they are setting an intention. They said, this is the way we want to bookend our weeks.
Yeah. And then when you come out of that meditation, you're in the gardens, which is one of the best peaceful, serene places you can be. What a great way to spend a Sunday. I'm definitely going to have to go down and do one of those meditation services on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
So I've been to Lake Shrine quite a few times, but I know Self-Realization Fellowship has other locations like in Hollywood. I think you mentioned that the first one you ever saw was Encinitas location. Mm-hmm. And there's also other locations around the world. Can you share with us a little bit about that for those of us who just know about Lake Shrine, especially the other ones that you have in California? Are they like open to visitors like Lake Shrine is?
Yes. All of our temples, we have a few larger sites like Lake Shrine. We have a central ashram, which is like a monastery that's on Mount Washington above Highland Park in central downtown. Mm-hmm. It overlooks Dodger Stadium and downtown LA. It's a beautiful site. It has a meditation garden up there as well. That's open to the public. We have Hollywood Temple and Meditation Center, which is on Sunset near Vermont. It's open to the public as well. You can just web search Self-Realization Fellowship Hollywood, for example. Mm-hmm. And then, like we were talking about, Encinitas, looking over Swami's Beach. It's my favorite spot. and they have a full program there as well. So there's a temple. There's also a meditation garden, very beautiful. On a clear day, you can see all the way down to San Diego along the coast.
Wow.
We have temple in San Diego. We have a few other temples. We have a new one up in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
We have a meditation center all over the world. So when we travel, we've been this year, for example, to a wonderful meditation center in Manhattan, New York City. We have a minister this week going to Kuala Lumpur.
Wow.
We had a couple of ministers in London and traveling throughout the UK. So, you know, we have these little meditation startups and some of them evolve into larger centers.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Yogananda envisioned. He said, you know, we want something that's easily accessible for people, a place where they can go and feel safe and gather for meditation and prayer.
The Lake Shrine location, was that one of the first California ones or...?
The central ashram in downtown was the first one.
Okay.
And then I believe the one in Hollywood was next. Encinitas and Lake Shrine came shortly after. Lake Shrine actually came near the end of Yogananda Ji's life, which he passed in 1952. So he first acquired this site that we're talking about now in 1948 and then dedicated it in 1950. So it was one of his actually later development projects.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So all of these have been around for, you know, the 1940s, 1950s, all have been around for a long time.
They've been around for a long time, Stephen. And I'm always running into people who say, you know, what do you, I'm not at Lake Shrine, I'm somewhere out in town or I'm traveling. You know, what do you do? Oh, I'm minister at Lake Shrine. Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that place. I really, it's on my bucket list.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to have to go check out these other ones in California because Lake Shrine is so beautiful. It has such a special place in my heart. I've got to check out these other ones because they sound pretty amazing as well. Now, thank you so much for sharing your tips about Lake Shrine and Self-Realization Fellowship with us. But as a California native, I'm really interested to hear your answer to this question. We want to ask you about Los Angeles, and I want to ask you about your dream day in LA, from getting up to going to bed. Yeah, it's your day off, you know, you've done your meditation, you're ready to go relax and enjoy yourself. From getting up to going to bed, what would you do and where would you go to make it your dream day in Los Angeles?
Well, for me, a dream day always starts with meditation. If we have meditation first thing, we walk out with a new inner confidence and happiness within us. So my dream day starts with, you know, priming my spirit with meditation. And as a monastic, I live a kind of an interesting, unique life. My life is dedicated to service, which is serving others. And I find great happiness in helping and serving others. So my dream day actually is having a longer meditation in the morning that allows me to kind of really dive a little bit more deeply into peace and enjoy it. And then to have some form of useful service to others. And I find great joy in that. So getting outside myself, you know, when we are helping others, we are actually expanding our heart. And the heart that has meditated is ready to expand. And I really love getting out. And it can just mean having an inspiring conversation. It can be simply giving some encouragement. Maybe there's something else that is needed. But I think actually my favorite day is doing just those two things. Now, Lake Shrine is really close to the beach. And so I love to get down to the ocean. That's where I started.
You still got that surfer blood in you, huh?
Oh, I don't ride a board anymore, but I love to go down and you know, quietly share the space with the Pacific and the sand. And,
yeah, even if you're not surfing, it's just nice to be back in that environment for you, right?
It's very refreshing for me. So my dream day always includes a little bit of the Pacific Ocean. So I would say those three things: meditation, some heartfelt service, and communing a little bit with nature by the shore.
So, brother, what you're telling me is you live your dream day almost every day at Lake Shrine because you've got the beach, you're helping people, and you're meditating. So,
Stephen, that was my goal way back. When I first decided to become a monastic, my objective was to unify, you know, my prime objectives, the love of what I love to do with my work and my lifestyle. And that's something that I'm very happy, I'm very proud of. Actually, privately, I don't talk about this very much, but privately, I'm very happy with myself about unifying my goals, my work, and my lifestyle.
Yeah, that is the dream, brother, because there's so many people who are wealthy out there. They might have achieved success in one part of their life, but they're not really happy, right? They're doing something they don't want to do. So that's an awesome, awesome answer. And I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about Self-Realization Fellowship in Lake Shrine. I told you before we started this interview, that's one of the most special places in Los Angeles to me. It really holds a special place in my heart. And it was even more so after talking to you. But where is the best place for people to go who want to visit and learn more about it for themselves?
Well, I would say, you know, website and social media. So you can even web search Self-Realization Fellowship and you'll hit on yogananda.org. And that site has a lot to offer. Same thing with our Facebook and Instagram. Lake Shrine, it's lakeshrine.org. Mm-hmm. We have a reservation system for Lake Shrine, which is all free and it's easy to do, but it kind of ensures the peaceful experience. And then we have on our website at the footer of the homepage, we have Facebook and Instagram. So I think those channels all will guide a new person to more information and how to connect.
Yeah, well said, brother. And if you want to go out and check out Lake Shrine and learn more about Self-Realization Fellowship, I definitely recommend you go visit. I mean, it's quite an experience. It's such a beautiful place. Can't really even do it justice by explaining it. So you got to go out and see it for yourself. Brother, thank you so much for coming on. It was great mm-hmm. talking to you, and I can't wait to go to Lake Shrine again, and maybe I can stop by and say hello.
Yes, we would love to host you, Stephen.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, brother. Have a great day.
Take good care.
Bye.
Okay, welcome back, my friends. I must say that was an inspiring conversation for me personally with the brother minister in charge of the Self-Realization Fellowship of Lake Shrine. I absolutely love visiting Lake Shrine, and for a long time, I've been trying to focus less on external accomplishments for happiness and more internally. So for me, everything he talked about was a great reminder of that. I want to thank the brother again for coming on, and if you want to learn more about him, the fellowship, or the Lake Shrine location, you can find them on Instagram at @SRF_LakeShrine, or on their website, lakeshrine.org. which is also where you can make free reservations to go visit that spectacular property. Okay, guys, on to my hack for this episode. And besides the spiritual benefits of a visit to Lake Shrine, it's also just an amazing spot to relax and reflect. So this week, I'm going to share a few similar places where you can take a quick escape for some peace, quiet, and self-reflection. Okay, number one, of course, is Lake Shrine for all the reasons we talked about in this episode. Now, Lake Shrine is very well known, but because of their reservation system, there are only so many people allowed in at a time. That way, it's still peaceful when you go and not too crowded. Also, as the brother mentioned, there are other locations, which as far as I know, are way less known than Lake Shrine, so they would be good to go visit as well. Another one that I have to add to our peaceful escape situation is in an area you have heard us talk about many times in this podcast, and that's in beautiful Palos Verdes. There is an absolutely gorgeous chapel in Palos Verdes called Wafers Chapel, also known as the Glass Church. It's right off Palos Verdes Drive South, and if you're familiar with the area, you know it features ocean and cliff views almost anywhere you turn. Well, at the Glass Church, you can actually park in their lot and wander the grounds, and even go into the church if there is no service or wedding happening. The architecture was designed by Lloyd Wright, and it's absolutely stunning. And when you add in the insane ocean and cliff views, it really, really is an incredible place to go see. The property's pretty small, but if you go there off hours, there's usually just a few people there, and they have a really small garden and grass where you can sit and get some fresh air and reflect. Okay, so on to a few more, and I'm not gonna go into a lot of details for these next ones, but here are just a couple more that you wanna go check out. One is Kyoto Gardens. It's a beautiful Japanese garden hidden at the DoubleTree Inn Hotel in Little Tokyo. Some say it's private, but you don't need to be a guest to go check it out. I've gone many, many times with no problems. Another great secret garden place for some peace is the Manhattan Beach Botanical Gardens. It's tucked away in the back of Poliwag Park, which is a very busy park in Manhattan Beach. But the garden is hidden, so not many people know about it or go there. You can sit in the middle of that garden and just enjoy the sound of the stream and the birds and forget you're just a few feet away from a lot of noisy people playing in that busy park next door. Okay, two more for you, just really quick. Virginia Robinson Gardens in Beverly Hills. And lastly, let's go with the Peace and Awareness Labyrinth Gardens on West Adams. All right, LA Hackers, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you take time out of your busy life to seek some peace, some quiet, and self-reflection at some of these amazing places we have here in LA. Thank you, and take care.